Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Wow. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you speak to the Lord? Ask him to speak to you tonight. Speak to your heart. Ask the Lord to talk to you tonight. Sit you down and minister to you and address you and talk about you. Ask the Lord to speak to you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Leke bros kabarandas. Mayande de mesh keberende maskabrandas. Le bros keberende maskataya barabandoro moskebrenes. Yende de meskaburundos kebrende maskataya baba. Lebo baskoto brondo mekebre meskitirie. Re basko bandoro moskataya barababandas. Rebo bobos keberende mesketere mekabranda. Le baske bere mesketebre mesketebrenes. Before you. Amazing.
So amazing, you have made the star of the deepest night. Still you love me, you have called my name.
He has called your name.
I will follow you,
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. You chain over me. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Let's sing So Amazing one more time.
So amazing, you have made the star.
Deepest night.
Of the deepest night.
Still you love me.
Still you love me. You have called my name.
I'll follow you.
I will follow you. Emmanuel. Jesus Christ. My shepherd king, you watching over me. Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel.
Father, tonight, thank you that you are going to address us individually. You will not let us leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you for everyone who is here tonight. Thank you for the presence of your spirit. And thank you for what you are doing in our church. I bless you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. And somebody said, you may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glad to be in church tonight. And the best place to be on Tuesday evenings is in the presence of the Lord. Amen. As we were singing the song, Emmanuel, and I felt the Lord showing me something. You get it? Is it when you are, if you've ever been in an aeroplane before, many of us have not been in an aeroplane before. Some of you were to sit in an aeroplane and when it's taking off, you can easily wee on yourself. Yeah. But when you're in the plane and you take off and you are up there, 30,000 feet altitude, you sometimes see things from way up there. Sometimes when you're flying over islands, if you have a good pilot, he tells you where you are and what you see on the right side of the plane and what you see on the left side. They tell you those things. So as you're flying, they tell you, oh, that's Puerto Rico on the left there as we approach. The skies of the United States of America, they tell you all those things. So you see pockets of things from way up there. Do you get it? Now, if God was to live all the way up there, you should imagine how small you and I look. In fact, when you are up there, everything, you can't actually differentiate between this from that. Are you with me tonight? So for God, from all the way up there, to still call you by name, it takes something more than human beings can understand. Once you are up there, everything is one. You can't, even buildings, huge things, you can't differentiate one from the other. How much more the human beings in their rooms, in their houses? I mean, from out there, you don't know any street. You don't know any lot number. You don't know who lives in which house. Somehow, the God we have and the God we serve, from far away, is able to know that you are this. And you are that. And you live here and you live there. And he calls us by name. Next time when you fly, you should look down and see whether you can really see what you are looking at. And that's just 30,000 feet. How much more? You know how many thousand feet he's at or where he's at, whether he's there or not. But assuming he's up there somewhere, then all of us look like, I mean, it's like, you know, even when you're about to land in Guyana, you fly over the dense forest. They look like carpet grass. It's like carpet. You can't differentiate which one is Walaba wood, which one is Grey Heart, which one is Silver Valley, which one is all you see is like umbrella. You see like this, what do you call it? Broccoli. You know, broccoli. Broccoli. They look like broccoli. But if you were to be on the ground, you see that there's a jaguar there. You see that there's an anaconda there. But when you are up there like that, it looks as if you can even lie on it. You come down, you see whether you can lie on it or not. It's very, very different. You see, so it tells you how thoughtful God is where you and I are concerned. That it must make you feel nice. I say it should make you feel nice. Yeah, that God knows you by name. You must feel very, very proud about that. And to even call you to say, come and do something for me who's so far up high above there. It's a privilege. That's chapter one of the book tonight. I feel like preaching on chapter one tonight. The book is yours, so you can read anywhere you want to read. I can also preach anywhere I want to preach. You're in the book, so no number one, number two, number three. You can't keep me there like that. I'm on chapter one. Why you are still alive. Why you are still alive. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2, sorry. Why you are still alive. Many people do not know why they are still alive. Amen. Yeah, many people don't know why they are still alive. Many people don't know why they are here on earth. So let's look into the scriptures and see why you and I are still around here. And you hath he quickened. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and active. The Bible says it is the spirit that quickeneth. Right? So the word quicken is another difficult word for to bring to life, to resurrect. Right? So when the Bible says that, and you hath he quickened, it means that you and I were once not quickened. We lacked quickening. So now he has quickened us. And to be quickened means to be brought back to life. And you hath he quickened. And then he says, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He goes on to say that the sins wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the things that work in this world. When the Bible says you walk according to the course of this world, it's like you live your life like everybody else is living their lives here on earth. Which means that when you become a Christian, your life should be the other way around. You are not supposed to be living the way the world lives. Are you listening to me? It says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is Satan? The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. I was talking to Akim. He said he's no angel. He's Akim. I was talking to him Sunday night. No, he's our church member. I told him I've canceled his name because he doesn't pay tithe. He promised me he would have come tonight. Is he here? He came. He didn't come. He was with some two other guys. So I was asking whether they are girls or boys. And one of them was getting a little fidgety. Why am I asking whether he's a boy or a girl? Don't I know that he's a boy? So you behave like a girl. So I have to know. These days, you are not sure who is who. What was the guy's name in America who changed into a woman and all of that? So I said, so what are you? So I mean, I was curious. I said, so are you the boy or the girl when it comes to these things you do? He said, I'm the entrance. So that's what he said. He's the entrance. He's not saying whether he's a boy or girl, but he said he's the entrance. The entrance of your word brings light. Yeah, that's the type of word he's using. So I didn't know there's something called entrance. I thought you enter through doors, not through people. Eish. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our lives. Conversation means we had our ways. Had our conversation in times past. In times past. In times past. Not now. In times past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. It's like your flesh say this, and you say, all right, no problem. Let me go. Your flesh says this. You say, all right, good. Let me do it. In those time past, we used to fulfill the lust or the desires of our flesh and of the mind. But now, when he says, let's go here, you say, let's go where? You better rest yourself. Mean deep on them things no more, you know. You got to speak to your flesh. Otherwise, he want to go the way you used to go all the time. It's you who have to say, hey! Here in this new country, we don't do that. I've moved from that country where I used to give you all the things you like. Now we are in a different country. You can't come here and tell me what you want. In fact, you don't have a say here in this new country. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God, somebody say, but God. You see, if you don't give your heart and your life to God, you are very foolish. I tell you. If you don't give your last drop of blood for the preaching of the gospel and the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ, you are a fool. Because the Bible talks about who we were. He says he has quickened us. Now he tells us from what he quickened us from. Now, as he talks about all those bad things, then he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. He's not rich in money. He's rich in mercy. We want to be rich in money and rich in houses and rich in cars, but God is rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. What a status. What a status. What a reputation. That we will be quickened together with his Son who is holy and who is righteous. He gave us that privilege, that status of bringing us back to life together. Together. Jesus is our classmate. You're in the same class. He sits on that chair and you sit on this chair. Together. By grace, you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together again together. Hey, together is a very important word. If you don't understand English, you must understand. When we say together, it means you and somebody else. He has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see where God has placed us. God has made us to sit in high places, heavenly places in Christ. Yeah. That, you see, so if you will understand who a Christian is, if only we understand who a Christian is, we'll not give ourselves to some useless things around. Because if you don't appreciate this high place and you allow yourself to be entangled in things of this world, you are demoting yourself. I say you are demoting yourself. You are actually rubbishing and making foolish the blood that was shed and the quickening that Christ, God, but God who is rich in mercy, you are making the riches of his mercy go to waste by saying that you don't like the heavenly places. You like the earthly places. It means that when you're working on this earth, you must have this thing in your head. That's why the Bible says that one of the protective tools you need as you fight this warfare is to put on a helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is not just putting on a helmet. You are putting on something in your mind, your head. When we say helmet of salvation, we are talking about what you have in your mind. Because your mind is that which always and constantly fights against who you have become. So unless you are going to take the package, the salvation package, and how great and how honorable it is, and keep it in your head, Satan can always fight against you in your mind. You are quiet. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. Let me tell you, for some of you, you'll be blown away by what you are doing for yourself in heaven now that you think you are suffering. Let me say it again. I said, for some of you, you'll be blown away, you'll be shocked, you'll be surprised when you get to heaven of the things you have arranged and saved there from your suffering and punishing life here on earth. I'll say it again for the third time. You see, I saw this, I think I posted it also, I shared it, and I shared it with my people. The Redeemed Christian Church of God, RCCG in Nigeria, they are trying to finish a 12 million complex. 12 million seater. It's not auditorium because it's kilometers by kilometers. It's not feet by feet. It's kilometers by kilometers. That's going to seat 12 million people for their national convention in Nigeria. 12 million people. You can bring Jamaica, Trinidad, Guyana, can bring all of us together. Still, we can't make the church membership of that church in Nigeria. 12 million seater. You sit down here and have 8 people in your church and think that you are doing something. 12 million seater. Redeemed Christian Church of God. It is a church where you see a top flat and a bottom flat. There's a branch on the top and there's a branch on the bottom. Yeah. Yeah, same church. I don't know if you understand what I'm telling you. So you, and the church is almost every block you have a church. So you see this church, they said, let's say, Living Power Church, and they have into brackets, Redeemed Christian Church of God. Top flat, bottom flat, the grace of Almighty God, into brackets, Redeemed Christian Church. Different pastors, but it's the same church. Up and down. You have members who go up and members who come down. They're in the same church. 12 million seater. They all want to come together for their national convention. And they've been preparing this place. I've forgotten the kilometers by kilometers they have. How many? 3 kilometers. By 3 kilometers. That's all. I don't think there's any structure in the whole world that can seat 12 million people. No. There's nowhere. I don't think there's nowhere. So they are going to set a record in Nigeria for a place that can seat 12 million people. Yeah. That's like half of the population of Ghana or something. That's just church membership. Nigerians are 150 million people. You don't understand what I'm talking about. 745. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm going to say 150 million people. No. It's like you are sitting in a church and you feel choked because there's so many people. You feel like, where am I? Am I in the wrong place? Too many people. One place. You see, so some of you, the little suffering you are suffering here that you can't handle, you don't have an idea that the profit of it in heavenly currency. Because you are only looking at it in the earthly sense. In the earthly sense, you feel miserable. In the earthly sense, you feel stressed up. In the earthly sense, you feel you are wasting your time. In the earthly sense, you want to stop. Because you can't take this thing anymore. But if only you could just convert it into heavenly currency. You rejoice in your tribulations. I said you will rejoice in your tribulations. Yeah. Verse 7. Is it verse 7? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding. It's like he is waiting for the age to come to show Kechi something that you don't have an idea about. And since Kechi doesn't have a car, she's crying. I don't have a vehicle. Why am I serving God all these years? Look at my shoe. The world is not worthy of you. You don't need a shoe. The world is not worthy of you. You are too precious to be in this world. That's how the Bible says, precious is to the Lord at the death of his saints, isn't it? Because when somebody dies, it's promotion. When a Christian dies, it's promotion. Because you are now going to that best place where you are supposed to be. Yeah. No, we must think Christian. We must think Christians. Oh. You must think like Christians. Because if you don't think of that heavenly place that God has quickened us with Jesus together, we are seated there. You get frustrated with this life here. And you'll be like somebody who doesn't have hope, like just the unbelievers who don't have hope. But you see, but you have hope because at the end of this thing here, we see here, your life is now going to start. They don't have anything like that. So they better cry and be miserable. You and I have no, we can't feel depressed about anything. We rather must go through difficulties rejoicing. I tell you, you must understand who you are and where you are living. Yeah, that the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I said, turn your problems, your situations, your lack of not having a boyfriend or girlfriend or having sex or having money or having car, change that into heavenly currency. You will not even know the value of it, but you just dream about it, because it will blow your mind. You see, Ghana did this where when we used to live in Europe and then we go to Ghana, if you take 1 euro and you go to Ghana, 1 euro was about 20,000 cedis. So when you go to Ghana, you have euros. You go to the cambio, when you come back smiling. Because they change alone. I mean, you need to have a big bag with you to put the money inside. It's like you bring a little money to this country and then when you change, you have so much money. Heaven is like that. If your problems and your situations, because of the church and because of Jesus that you are following, if you were to enter heaven with it, you would have asked God to take you more through problems. Yeah. They say, Lord, no, Lord, the problems are there. I want some more because I can see the exchange rate in heaven. I want more. And we are greedy people too. So why don't we pray those prayers? But no. When we go through something small, look at how difficult it is for you to even come to church. And spend some time in church. How difficult it is. Because you don't understand how the worlds work. God is waiting for the ages to come to show us. Man. Verse 8. For it's by grace that you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's God's gift to save us because we don't deserve saving. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, when you look at the works part, when we say not of works, Chris, it's like it's not what you do that merits or that qualifies you to be saved. Josh, are you there? So it's not even being holy, because what is your holiness? What do you understand by holy? He's the one who makes us holy. Have you ever done something for somebody, you did it with all your might and everything, and the person didn't appreciate what you did? Have you experienced that before? That's how holiness without God looks like. It's like you are trying to please God with your life, and he's not impressed by it. It's filthy rags, the Bible says. So it's not of your works. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and so what? Is it not smoking, not drinking, that's what makes you who you are? Some smokers are even better than you who don't smoke. Yeah. Verse 10. For you and I are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. This is our scripture. Why you and I are alive? Because you and I are the workmanship of God. What is a workmanship? You can look at it like a tool. You are the screwdriver. You are the hammer. You are the hacksaw. You are the electric saw of God. That's workmanship. Yeah. You are a tool created by God. You see, many people think that I'm alive because we like to take this life and enjoy this life. It's like you live with somebody and you don't do anything in the house. You do what you want to do. You wake up when you want to wake up. You cook what you want to eat. Meanwhile, you are living with somebody who owns the place where you are living at. The Bible says that. That's why the verse 1 said it. I don't know whether you have the tricks to bring 1 and 10 together somewhere. If you can do that, I'll love you for the rest of my life. The Bible says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So it's like something that did not exist. He has brought it back for a particular purpose. The workmanship. He has created a tool that wasn't working. A tool that could not be used. God has come into the picture. He has taken the tool. He has fixed it. And when he fixed the tool said, you know what? I just want to be in the room all the time. In fact, if you look at skilled workers, when they buy tools, they are so excited because the tool is going to do something to bring them joy in their work. So when God saves somebody, God is excited because this is another tool that he's going to use to bring more people to him. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son as a tool that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The reason why you and I are alive is because we have to be doing some works. Do you think that Jesus died so that you will get a husband to marry? You heard him good. God Almighty gave his only son to us to die that shameful death on the cross. Please give me 10. I like the 10. Don't worry. I don't think I'll love you for the rest of my life. I'll love you till next year. Jesus Christ died on the cross, Chantel. So that you get a lot. A sterling housing scheme. How do you call it? You call it a workshop. You say one-stop shop.
So when you get a lot number, you say, you come and testify that God is good. I got a house lot in Sterling. That is why Jesus died on the cross for you. Lennox, are you there? Jesus died for you to use you as a tool. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who died for us to become that valid tool. Created unto good works. Now you have to ask yourself, what is the good work? I'm just like, getting money is a good work. Going to America is the good work. Making babies and making money is the good work. Jesus died for you so that you what? You do business. So look at us. Look at us in this world. Look at us. Look at us, how we go about doing things that we have not been created to do. It's like you buy a grass cutter. All right? And then every morning you clean it and you put it back in your room. Meanwhile, there's bushes all over you, even your own house. And you bought a grass cutter. In fact, your neighbors will wonder, everything all right with this guy? So, and that's the type of question Satan is asking God. He said, these people that you saved, you think they love? Do you think they really want you? You have wasted your blood. Because they are not thinking about why you saved them. And the reason why you are not dead yet is because, you see, but God, who is rich in mercy, he doesn't want you to die without bringing in some works. He's so rich in mercy that he's not allowing you to die without any work. Otherwise, the best thing to do is that, you know what, this grass cutter, I bought it the other day, useless. Just get rid of it. Because if you look at it, Coco, if you look at it, when you give your life to Christ, you are saved. Why don't you just die and go to heaven? Instead of being around here and being tempted to smoke, being tempted to steal, you know, doing all kinds of things that really, you know, all those temptations and those difficult. Why don't I die the next day when I give my life to Christ to just finish everything? No, because there are some works God is expecting us to do. So if you go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, I want to show you something there as we close. Why are we alive? Carla, why are you alive? Eh? You're alive to enjoy yourself. That's why if you look at it, those who are wicked, they live longer. Because you wonder sometimes, this guy, I mean, look at Sean Hines, he shouldn't have been alive by now. I mean, by if you're going to look at principle and what he has done, he has confessed. Now he says he's not talking. You should sit down, they should give him coffee and tea to drink every morning. He says he's not talking, but you are the one who came to tell us you are part of the death squad. If we are looking at the law of Moses, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, he shouldn't be alive. Right at the TV station, the presenter or the host should have said, okay, boom. And then somebody also have killed him also because he killed somebody. And then it goes on. Because once you kill, you must be killed. But people like that, they live long. Because God, who is rich in mercy, come unto me. It's a very nice scripture. Jasmine, Nice scripture we're looking at. Come unto me, all you that labor. The Nigerian will say labor. The Ghanaian will say labor. So just in case you think I'm Nigerian, I'm not Nigerian. I say labor. I don't say labor. And they say come, like you also say come. Nigerian say come. Based on how you say come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a very nice scripture. Jesus is saying that, bring all your problems to me, I will give you rest. How many are excited about this scripture? How many of us have burdens tonight? Hey. Jesus said, Lord, please take away all the burdens. So, but why are we here having so much burdens? Eh? Why don't we just go to heaven where there's no crying, there's no... Why don't we just go to heaven? Evil. He says, he will give you rest. I read verse 29. He said, when you give him his burden, your burden, then you have to take his yoke. It's an exchange. What do you think? I should die for you. And then you will just sit down and just drink coconut water on the beach in Barbados. It's not fair. I should come and die for you. And you should just think about you. When I am thinking about you, you are thinking about you. He said, okay, you know what? I will take care of your burdens. Sweetie, what's your name again? Your name looks new. Your face looks new. What's your name? Julie. Wow. Julie! My sister is called Julie. He said, bring your burdens, Julie. But I will take the burdens. But you have to take my yoke. Now, yoke is more serious than a burden. Now, just at face value, if you say burden, burden is something that is weighing on you, right? But a yoke is something that is tied to you. So everywhere you go, So like Kechi and Pepe here, Yadfao, they I tell you, they won't let me preach you. They have a yoke. So wherever this body go, you gotta go. I see, even in the flesh, yours is, it doesn't even look like that. But when we talk about yoke in the Bible, it's like a wooden something that is tied around two cows. It's tied around their neck. So they share the thing together. Like if your legs are tied together, where do you want to go that she won't go there? Can we tie somebody's legs and let's see how it works? You gotta tie. If we tie our legs together, come. Don't want to trouble the lady. If we tie our legs together, or our hands half cuffed together, I want to go here. You also go there. Let's go. it's not working for me. Not that is it working for him, because I am yoked. So Jesus said. This burden that you are bringing, okay, I will take it. But you have to take my yoke. And he says, and learn of me. Because when you are yoked together with Jesus, you have no option than to learn, read the person. You see, the person you are yoked, you have to read the person. You have to know he's going this way. Let me just galang, because if I try to go the opposite way, I will die, because you break your neck, you know. So you have to read. Okay, what is he stopping? Okay, let me stop also. Because the thing is so tight to your neck that you can't afford to do what you want to do. Because if you try that, he is the older one. He's the one you are following. So he's more stronger. So you actually break down. So he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. What does verse 30 say? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus' yoke? What is Jesus' yoke? What is that thing that is like a burden to Jesus Christ? He said one thing. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's as long as it is day, I must do the work of he that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. That is the yoke. That is the burden. Jesus said it's lighter than your yoke of building a house. Your yoke of a mortgage. I was just reading my friend Freddy Kisun. I just read a part of it. He was talking about something, but what I can tell you is that he said he used to pay insurance he insured his house against fire some time ago. $500,000. When he finished paying he paid $500,000 at the point. So he was paying extra. Then he said he went to the insurance and said, I insured my house against fire for $500,000. Now I've paid more than $500,000. Can I take the balance back? Can you give me the balance?
You didn't dip on them things. You pay. As long as you don't get fire, you giving the, you paying. So you working and paying somebody.
You think this world easy? The burdens that we have, you can't compare that to the yoke of seeking to seek and to save that which you've lost. Too many trouble here. What do you think will satisfy you? And tell me what you think will satisfy you, and I'll tell you what is in it that won't satisfy you. You tell me what you think will satisfy you here on this earth. What? Julie, what? A nice guy? A cute guy with 6-pack or 12-pack? I can tell you the problems you get with a 6-pack guy. I can give you 5 things. Easy, free. What? Yasmin, what? What do you want here on earth that you think will come peacefully? Rich people, look at Hamson. Look at Hamson. When I read the confession of the guy, his garden, is it garden boy or the yard or garden boy or somebody? When I read the confession of the guy, Hamson, look at Hamson on Regent Street. We've bought building materials from this guy all along. This guy went into his yard, got out of his car, and people lashed the back of his head with a wood. They shot him. Neighbors are saying, Hamson's a German shepherd dog. He does not waste time in barking. He will bark right now if he sees anybody he doesn't know. That night, they didn't hear no sound. Police said, it must be somebody who the dog knows. Now, and they arrested this guy in the interior. If you hear the nonsense of the confession, you wonder, why will you kill? And I hear he almost had $1 million in his house that they didn't even take. Why would you do something like that? Because you are here on earth thinking that you want to work hard and get money. Somebody is targeting you to hit your head with a stick so that they can get your money. You think it's worth staying here and looking for money? Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The preaching of the gospel and the glory about it and the results and the rewards about it is too light than when you have a fancy house. You have to grill yourself. You build the house. Now you have to spend money to grill the places. And now you have to put security cameras. And when they are coming, they cover their face and they put goggles and they come and they do. You see them thieving, but you can't identify them. Look at how these people who killed this mall owner in West Coast. Is it like jealousy or whatever they call it? The guy bought beer for these guys, not knowing that there were people waiting in his house. The mall owner. He went there. When he entered his house, went inside to talk with his wife. He came out, went to the washroom outside. When he came out, well, why? What? You want to be rich here? Okay. Jesus said, take my yoke. I'll give you rest. But the rest comes in taking the yoke that he has for you. I tell you, it's rest. Without it, I don't know the rest you can get. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All is said and done. Everyone is gone. Lord, you're real. All I want. When the best of world happens, just leaves me feeling numb. Lord, you're real.
Tonight, you are not saved, you are not born again. If you were to die right now, you are not sure where you would go. Heaven is a place you can go. Hell is also a place you can go. Pastor, tonight, I don't want to go to hell. Lead me to the cross where his love was poured out. You are here like that tonight. You want me to pray with you. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to pray that sinner's prayer that turns my life around, that causes me to be quickened by God who is rich in mercy. Pray with me, Pastor, tonight. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want Jesus to come and live in my heart. I want to experience the grace of God. Just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to be born again, Pastor. If you want to be born again, while every eye is closed, just lift up your right hand. Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. If you don't want to go to hell, all you have to do is just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Your right hand. God bless you. I see that hand there. God bless. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. This is about when you are punishing, you can't compare yourself with anybody. It's you and God. Pastor, please pray with me. I don't want to punish in hell. Just your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, why don't you come? I want to pray for you. Come. Come, I want to pray for you. Come on, sing it. Come, I want to pray with you.
Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down.
Rid me of myself.
Rid me of myself. I belong to you.
Oh, lead me. God bless you. Wow.
Oh, 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 oh. To your heart.
God bless you, sir.
To your heart.
your eyes with me. Church, I want you to close your eyes. It's good when they are young, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good when they are young. Give them 2-3 years. You see what they will do for God. Say this prayer with me. I want the church to join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again now. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.